Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good Friday morning, everybody. Good to have you with us today, and I thank you for joining us. May the 7th. Wow. Somehow this is not quite how I guess I envisioned May the 7th when I was looking ahead in the depths of winter back in February. But here we are, and we will do as we must do, work, play, whatever. And, of course, Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, or Birthing Persons Day. We talked a bit about that earlier this morning. Cori Bush, the Missouri congresswoman, deeply offended and upset by the fact that, I was going to say women of color, no, that's not it. Mothers of color, no, that's not it. Birthing persons, this is the politically correct way, so you better jot that down. Birthing persons have been poorly treated, and you cut through the BS in some testimony she gave about this, and apparently she had some kind of a problem with doctors who didn't, white, I'm sure, otherwise this whole thing would not have any currency with her, who did not believe that she was in pain. Well, first of all, pain does not she said that she almost became a statistic and her kids almost became a statistic, which means that she felt that they were going to die and that she was going to die. Pain does not automatically equate to death, number one. Number two, pain is not a good thing. And if you have a doctor who's not listening to your claims that pain needs to be alleviated, then find another doctor. You're a member of Congress. You get paid a ton of money. Find another doctor. Not that difficult to do. But I'm not sure which created the biggest furor, actually, the claim that doctors were not listening to birth persons of color as they felt that they were undergoing tremendous pain, or the whole notion that white doctors are just all eager to go out and to get themselves a black person, a birthing person. Anyway, it was a load of specious caca. Cori Bush is the name. She's elected by the good people of St. Louis. 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Markets talk line. 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. Ah, earmarks are back. One of the most odious forms of congressional spending that is possible. And it happens at the state level as well. And Nancy Pelosi, wouldn't you know it, the Speaker, at least until Kevin McCarthy replaces her in 2023, the Speaker praised the return of congressional earmarks as a transparent way to support community projects. And this is what she had to say. It is for the good of the community, and we encourage people to have as much community support for a project as possible. And so I'm very proud of it. And she notes that the law will have the new round of earmarks will have strict transparency rules that require members of Congress to publicly post their funding requests and certify that neither they nor their families will benefit financially from the project. And the House Appropriations Committee will also release a full list of the community funding projects before the lawmakers consider a given bill. That's not the point. The point is that if you have such a list, there are so many of them, you can't possibly read them all. If you're flooded with information, you can't possibly. It's like signing agreements on getting a loan, let's say. Do you agree to all of the following? And there follows 8 pages of tiny print. And you pretend you're reading through it, but eventually you just sign your name because they won. The point is that these all get voted on at one time. You cannot go through and pick and choose. That's what makes an earmark. If, in fact, every project had to be actually voted on by itself as part of a spending plan, then that would be fine. If something can stand scrutiny on its own merits, that's fine. It's when something is tacked on, like a legislative barnacle, to an important bill, and you vote on the whole thing, everything up or down, and the president has no line item veto to go through and strike out stuff like this, like 40-some state governors have. The president doesn't have that. That's wrong. We are in a day and age in when we are deeply in debt, $28 trillion zooming right up to $29 trillion, do I hear $30 trillion, and yes, you will very soon. In that atmosphere, it is impossible to be fiscally responsible and allow things to just go running through without being examined. Earmarks, by their definition, do not get proper scrutiny. If you're voting on a bill on its own merits, separately from everything else, and this community project that Nancy thinks is so cool stands to that scrutiny, and if in fact, of course, they couldn't just put it on the gross national credit card, which they can, then that would be fine. I would have no problem with that. I might not agree with the particular expenditure, but at least the process would have worked. This process does not work at all. Not at all. And so that's what we're facing right now. And of course, members of Congress love this, and they love it for one particular reason. And that's because they get to bribe their own constituents with their own money. Look what I'm doing for you here, Congressman Smith or Jones. Look what I'm doing for you. I have taken your own money, and I'm giving it back to you in the form of a post office or a bridge to nowhere or whatever. A little community project, as Nancy would put it, in her spendthrift, vacuum-headed manner. That is no longer acceptable, if it ever was. We cannot afford that. Earmarks must go. Everything needs to be voted on their own merits, and of course, ideally, in the context of if you want it, you pay for it. You pay for it. You pay for it. You do not put it on the gross national credit card, except in very extreme cases. You pay for it. You want it, then their taxes go up. Then we would see how many of these projects were for the benefit of the community. Mm-hmm. It's a bad sign, and the fact that Nancy Pelosi thinks it's so wonderful is in and of itself an adequate condemnation. If Nancy thinks it's wonderful, the odds are it's terrible. She does think it's wonderful, and in point of fact, it is terrible. So, again, if you've heard about the earmarks, and nobody who's in favor of earmarks is thinking in the national interest, and there are a lot of Republicans who love earmarks, and unfortunately it is a bipartisan trend to bribe constituents with their own tax money. See this money we took from you? Well, we're going to give you some back. Now vote for me. Does it have to be a good reason? No. Because everybody all votes for this one giant appropriations bill with the 1,000 barnacles attached to it. No, it doesn't have to be. Earmarks are bad. They are irresponsible. They need to go. Just for the record, in case there was any doubt as to just where I come down on this. This is 106.3 WORD, now at 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, 101.5 FM in Anderson, and everywhere on the Odyssey app. I'm Jim Bohannon in for Tara, and the time is 7:15.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yep, that's me, your special guest host here. And here till 10 o'clock, of course, Vince Coakley time at 106.3 WORD, the Upstage Talk Station. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for making use of the methods by which we can communicate. The Ingalls Markets Talk Line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Texter says, Jimbo, using the birthing person of color naming convention, what would you call a white father of three who has had a vasectomy and is over middle age? Okay, let's see here. Using the birthing person of color naming convention, what would you call a white father of three who's had a vasectomy and is over middle age? Okay, give me a second here. A pigment-challenged expired sperm donor, okay? That's what you would call him, a pigment-challenged expired sperm donor. Just thought I would toss that out there. Tara's stand is that Congress should pass a law that we're all... if Congress passes a law that adds to deficit spending, then that should start coming out of the Congress's pay. That's a great idea. However, I just did the math during a break here. Let's assume that you did that. Congress has paid $174,000 a year. A couple of members get another $20,000 each. So, but you multiply that by 535 members of the House and the Senate times $174,000, and the annual congressional pay is about $93.1 million annually. $93.1 million annually. Do you know how long it takes the federal debt to go up another $93.1 million? Not quite 2 minutes. I think it's about a minute 40 seconds. So, well, I would love to see that, but you would use up all of the congressional pay in 2 minutes. So wouldn't make a big dent. And that's why, of course, you're not likely to see that happening anytime soon, are you? No, I don't think you are. All right, anyway, but for what it's worth here. Texter says, my money says that if you wanted some pain meds, referring to the birthing persons, because she had a problem. Doctors are scared to prescribe pain meds now, and she should know that. They are. They have become very frightened of prescribing pain medications. That's very true. Doctors go through a lot of their life pretty frightened. They come out of law school and their residency, and they're just praying that they can pay off those horrendous medical bills, medical school bills that they have put up so they can start going into the black and you know, getting country club memberships and the like paid for. And now they, of course, are terrified of lawsuits. Yeah, malpractice lawsuits. Frightens the daylights out of them. That's why doctors are always so big on testing. I'm covered. You know, you go in for a hangnail, they schedule an MRI. Well, that's not because your hangnail needs an MRI. It's because they're covering their backside. Hey, could have been a hangnail, might have been pancreatic cancer, but we took the tests. We're covered. So that's a lot of what is going on today. The lawyers have made the doctors so frightened that an awful lot of what we're paying for in terms of medicine is covering doctors' butts in the event that some lawyer decides to initiate a malpractice lawsuit. That's the problem that you see there. Let's see here. Texter, what about the adoptive parents? They wouldn't fall into that category. If we lose gender, then we'll just have a parents' day. Oh, we would, yes, while that lasted. I'm sure the parents' day would eventually be supplanted by government caretakers' day or something of that nature. That's one of the things that bothers the left the most in this country, is that parents keep interfering in the raising of children. Parents have got to stop interfering in the raising of their own children. No. The state knows better. The schools know better. The teachers know better. Everybody knows better but parents. And nothing infuriates the left any more than parents meddling in the raising of their children. Here, the left has got a system set up whereby we're propagandizing the daylights out of our kids at taxpayer expense, of course, in public schools. And parents, in many cases, have the nerve, the gall to intervene. Say, no. That's not how you're raising my kid. This infuriates the left. Parents don't know anything about raising their kids. Parents should have nothing to do with raising their kids. That's the leftist view. Now, many of them are not courageous enough to actually say that. No, but that's what many of them believe. And it does bother them a great deal. They are all set to pound this propaganda into the heads of our impressionable young people, and that's what young people are, impressionable. And parents can really gum up the works when they start insisting on their values being used to train and raise their children. That's what bothers the left a great deal. They have this great thing going, and now a lot of parents are having the nerve to suggest that they, the parents, should have some say-so about the raising of their kids. No, no, the kids belong to the state. Now, you will not find a leftist in this country with the nerve to stand up and admit that that's what they believe, that the child belongs to the state. But essentially, that's what they believe. And that's why we have problems in this country. There are other reasons that go with that, but basically, the idea that the state should be all-powerful. The last major regimes in the world that believed that and were actually courageous enough to admit it were the leaderships of the Soviet Union, Communist China, and Nazi Germany. Those were the last places, all right? So, just keep that in mind. But that's part of what we're talking about here, is the left is really upset at parents telling the left how to raise our children. How dare we? How dare we? Jimbo in for Tara at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We will pause briefly, as we do that so very well, and the time now is 7:29. Hi there. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. It's 25 minutes now before 8 o'clock at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where the Ingalls Markets talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. And I note now that it's, of course, the turn of Florida to be receiving the brickbats from the left regarding election reform and Texas, just like they did for Georgia. And it's interesting to note the election law in Georgia compared with, let's say, oh, let's just pick Delaware, the home state of our president of these United States here. For example, if the president is so eager to bash Georgia's new statute as Jim Crow on steroids, you have to wonder why he's not bashing his home state's law. For example, the days of in-person early voting, Georgia, 17, Delaware, 0. That's the final score, Georgia, 17, Delaware, 0. Ballot drop boxes, Georgia, at least 159, no fewer than one per county, Delaware, 0. The final score, 159-0. No excuse absentee ballots, Georgia, yes, Delaware, no. Voter ID required, Georgia, yes, Delaware, yes. How racist of them. Gee, the president hasn't been taking on Delaware, which if Georgia is Jim Crow, then Delaware must be Jim Eagle, as the president so inarticulately put it. It is simply wrong to state that voter ID means that people who are allowed to vote should be turned away. No. It turns away, if it works well, and nothing is perfect, it turns away people who are not legally allowed to vote. Now, where the left really feels comes down on this issue is clear enough in circumstances in which the left has been allowed to have its way. In local elections, in places like Tacoma Park, Maryland, which I refer to as the People's Republic of Tacoma Park, where you can vote young, 15 or 16, I'm not sure how young they go there now, you can be in this country illegally and vote in some of these local elections around the country. They can't do it in the state and federal elections yet, because the rest of us have a say-so in that, and we would not go along with that. But that's what they want. And what they're allowed to do in circumstances where they've got the votes tells you what they really want. So that's the kind of nonsense that that we have been talking about here. But again, it is just so bogus to make up stuff like this that you have to wonder if the left really feels that they can get away with this. And the answer is, yeah, apparently they do. It's bizarre, but apparently they actually do. By the way, you may recall the case of Mark and Patricia McCloskey of St. Louis, and last July when armed protesters broke into their housing subdivision, and it was a gated community. They broke down the gate, and this couple defending their homes brandished weapons against the Black Lives Matter protesters. All right, didn't fire them, brandished them at people who had broken in and were trespassing. And that led to the circuit attorney of the area, Kim Gardner, who is a piece of work, charging them. Well, guess what? That St. Louis circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, has now been accused of hiding evidence and fabricating facts while prosecuting then-Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, who, of course, is a Republican and, by the way, is now running for the Senate seat being vacated by the retiring senator from Missouri. I guess what goes around comes around. But Gardner could have her law license revoked following a professional misconduct investigation and impending hearing before a disciplinary board. A private investigator later charged with perjury and evidence tampering was contracted by Gardner to help conduct an inquiry into Governor Greitens, who at the time was accused of inappropriate extramarital conduct. Greitens resigned his office in May of 2018 after accepting a plea deal. He had been indicted on one count of invasion of privacy, a felony for allegedly taking and transmitting a photograph of someone who was partially nude. Okay. Anyway, now Gardner, the circuit attorney, who is a product of the George Soros School of Funding left-wing dingbats, Gardner is accused of concealing this evidence and faces the prospect of suspension or losing her law license. So, sometimes what goes around comes around. Not always, but sometimes. And there is hope. There is hope. All right? Again, it is important that when we find examples of misstatements that are being made and lies that are being propagated, that we tell them. We jump up and we shout and we make them known. 2022 is going to be a time of reckoning. And it is pretty clear now what the Democratic strategy is going to be. I'm not sure why. I don't understand this. If I were advising Joe Biden, if I had Joe Biden's best interests at heart, which I most assuredly do not and am not, but if I were, I would say, Mr. President, ignore the AOCs of the world. Ignore them. They carry votes in maybe at most a couple of dozen congressional districts around the country. And those are districts you were going to carry anyway. Ignore those people. I'm just assuming that Joe Biden has no political values of his own, which has pretty much been his track record. He's been a man of a great versatility of conviction over the years. If he wants to get reelected and retain power, then I assume that he should be open to this. But for some reason, the Democrats are just absolutely worshiping the far left. I don't know why it is. I just don't get it. Honestly, I'm assuming that they want power. And I mean, in a way, it's bad public policy, so I'm unhappy about that. It's good for the country in that they're setting themselves up to lose badly in 2022. Let's not forget that the election of 2020 rather, was not all that the Democrats wanted. Yeah, they got Biden in, but they lost seats in the House, and it's down to a very bare margin. In the Senate, they're on the tiebreaker of the vice president. They lost three state legislative seats. Around the country, there are 99 state House and Senates. Nebraska has a one-house legislature. Of those, and Alaska's is in a tie, one of their houses in a tie. So that leaves 98 state House bodies, House and Senate bodies. 59 of those now are Republican, 39 are Democrats, as we go through the process of congressional redistricting, which will only benefit the Republicans. And that's up three. three more houses went to the Republicans in 2020. This has not been a wonderful time for the Democrats. And apparently what their strategy now is, they're going to get everything they can get from now till the 2022 elections. Then, after they lose at least the House, and that's almost a foregone conclusion that they'll lose the House, that they will lose the Senate, very possible, with 34 Senate seats up. 20 of them are Republican seats, 14 are Democrats. Five incumbent Republicans are not running for re-election to the Senate, which is unfortunate, but for whatever that's worth. Apparently the strategy is get everything you can now and then hope that Joe Biden's veto in the last 2 years of his term are enough to sustain the socialist gains you made. I think it's dumb. There are a number of Democrats who think it's dumb. James Carville thinks it's dumb. If the Democrats listened to him, they would offer better public policy and have a better chance of holding on to the both houses of Congress. We'll see. But again, apparently this is a gamble on the part of the Democrats. Get all you can for 2 years and then hope you can keep most of it. We'll see. I would not be helping them to do that. I'll be voting the other way. 106.3 WORD is now at 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, at 101.5 FM in Anderson, everywhere on the Odyssey app. The time now is 15 minutes before 8 a.m. Yep, that must be my cue. So here I am, and there you are, and we may, of course, interface telephonically, if you would like, through the Ingalls Markets talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. Would love to hear from you and your thoughts about the various issues of the day or the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 71307, 71307. If you missed this, the South Carolina State Senate voted yesterday to pass the Open Carry with Training Act by a 28-16 vote, which would allow open carry of guns for people who undergo training and background checks to carry guns hidden under a jacket or other clothing. They made some minor changes to some parts of the bill before the vote, so it'll have to head back to the House for further consideration. And the Governor McMaster's has said he will sign the bill into law if it's brought to his desk. They had rejected a similar bill which would have allowed open carry without a permit, but they did vote for Open Carry with Training Act in the South Carolina State Senate. So 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063 is our Ingalls Markets talk line number and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307, 71307. Let's see here. The reason Joe Biden's deciding with the radical left is because that's who he really is, and they are going to go all in on far-left policies. Well, that's the problem. It's never been easy to determine what Joe Biden really is. What he really is a person who doesn't really have much of an ideology. When the Democrats drift to the center, like with Bill Clinton back in the early 90s and welfare reform, Joe drifted to the center. Democrats are drifting to the left. Joe's drifting to the left. Joe is a drifter. Joe Biden accomplished virtually every goal he had in life by 1 p.m. on January 20th. He was sworn in as president. That was it. That was it. It's just a kind of a weird circumstance that we find ourselves in. If for example, Bernie Sanders had been elected president, and at times it looks like Bernie Sanders was elected president, but he would have said after being sworn in, boy, I can't wait to get going. We're going to do socialist this and socialist that and socialist the other. He would have been looking ahead to all the things that he wanted to accomplish in his life because he is a dyed-in-the-wool ultra-leftist. Very, very seriously dyed-in-the-wool ultra-leftist. I interviewed Bernie Sanders when he was a House member many years ago. And my first question was, aren't you really just a liberal Democrat? Oh, he got mad at me. No, I'm a proud democratic socialist, blah, blah, blah. Then I started reciting his voting record to him, which was identical with other members of Congress at the time, like Ted Kennedy and Barney Frank he was not happy. He never came back and had another interview with me. But Bernie would have been eager to get going and socializing America. At least you know where Bernie Sanders stands. Joe Biden, again, being elected president was his goal, being elected president. He was sworn in. He was president. What he did with it, the problem with Biden is he's open to suggestion. And boy, does the left have all kinds of suggestions. Oh, yes. All kinds of suggestions. And Biden's going along. Now, again, this is a guy who bragged that he beat the socialist in the primaries. He beat Bernie Sanders. Yeah, but Sanders won. Because, granted, Sanders doesn't get the paycheck and the fancy airplane and the public housing, but he won. His policies are being adopted by a guy who has never shown a speck of actual ideological commitment in his life. It's just kind of weird. So to say that the real Joe Biden is a hardcore leftist, not necessarily. Not necessarily. He's whatever is popular at the moment. And that's been what we've been hearing. So, and that's what he's been showing over the years. So that's where we stand with Joe Biden. And again, there are pluses and there are minuses to this. The plus is that he's setting up the Democrats to lose both houses of Congress possibly next year. That could happen. The House, almost certainly, because traditionally new presidencies tend to lose seats in the first midterm elections, and they lose more than the Democrats have to lose. The Senate, very doable, but even if they only lose the House, the Biden legislative agenda under a Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, would be pretty much derailed. And there are limits to even what this White House can do under executive orders. So I guess they just plan to get everything done between now and next November and hang the consequences. If the public gets upset with all that they're doing, all of the ridiculous stuff that they're proposing and that they're pushing, if the public gets upset with the wide-open southern border, they'll take it. They, meaning the people who do have an agenda and who have been able to foist it on poor old Uncle Joe. They'll take it. Again, I wouldn't suggest this. I know that there are concerned Democrats out there. James Carville, again, whatever else you can say about James Carville, he's not stupid. He sees an impending disaster for the Democrats, and I think he's right. We feel, of course, differently about whether that would be a good or a bad thing. James Carville is upset that this is about to happen. I'm cheering it on. But yeah, they are vastly overreaching. This is one thing that the left has always been very good at, and that is seizing an opportunity and smothering it to death. The left here had the presidency, both houses of Congress, and had they carefully and adroitly just started slipping in a little bit more socialism and a little bit more socialism, they might have been getting away with it. It's like the frog put into the pan of boiling water. The frog will jump out, put the pan in a pan of lukewarm water, and gradually turn up the heat, and the frog will sit there and boil to death. And if the Democrats had been smart, they would have been feeding us socialism a spoonful at a time, not jamming it down our throats. And the jamming is going to come back to haunt them. It's going to come back, and it's going to cost them seats come 2022's election. So I, on the one hand, I am opposed to their bad public policy. On the other hand, I applaud them trying to commit political suicide. Yes, Democrats, go ahead and do that. Yes, Joe, go ahead and let the left keep whispering in your ear and keep listening to them. Go right ahead and lose control of this agenda. Go right ahead. Don't let us stop you. In fact, we'll help you lose. Yes, we will. Jimbo in for Tara at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We'll do some chatting with the Lee Rogers after he gives us the news coming up at 8 o'clock, and it's now 3 minutes before 8.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.